brought to you by Penguin.
But What Will People Say? Written and read by Sarhaj Kaur Kohli.
Note to listeners, this program includes a bonus PDF which contains tables and exercises from the book. To anyone who straddles between cultures and questions if and where they belong, you're not alone. Come sit, stay a while. The first generation thinks about survival. The ones that follow tell the stories. Hua Su. Introduction. You never talk about your assault or your depression with me, my father blurted, unprompted, as we were driving up Interstate 295 between Portland and Bar Harbor, Maine. It was 2015, I was 26 years old, and we were on day two of our first ever father-daughter trip. My dad, a stoic immigrant with a slight Indian accent and almost always a blue or purple bugatti on his head, was sitting next to me in the passenger seat wearing a baseball cap and tapping his fingers on his knee along to the radio song. He was unusually casual and oblivious to the fact that he had just knocked the breath out of me. We'd set out on this trip because a few months prior, my mom had mentioned in passing that she thought my dad was depressed. He isn't acting like himself, she'd said. He is unusually quiet when he gets home from work. He seems sad. Though my mom had shared all of this nonchalantly, the weight of her words had still hit me like a ton of bricks. The word depressed, or any term even remotely referring to mental health, wasn't used in my household. And depressed, as it's commonly thrown around by many people, could depend on a situation and any given person's understanding or assumptions around mental health. Was Papa depressed, or was he just stressed at work? Was he tired? Was he in a stage of reflection and transition in his own life as his children became increasingly independent? Why had my mom used this specific word to describe his behavior? Did it reflect her fear over his changed behavior or her own inability to understand his thoughts and feelings? I was overcome with questions, but as per usual, I knew that it would be up to me, the family mediator, a burden I embraced and am still unlearning, to do something. I decided that spending some time with my dad in a neutral environment where we could get to know each other better without other people and without pressure would make for the best opportunity to get to the bottom of things. You're probably thinking, he's your dad. Don't you know him? Well, no, not really, sadly. At that point, I knew that my dad liked collecting suitcases and luggage, specifically of the Toomey variety. He liked driving his Ford pickup truck on the back roads of Virginia, where he had purchased a plot of farmland and played out his wildest dreams of being a cowboy, as inspired by the westerns he grew up watching. I knew that as a teenager in India, he had snuck away from home one afternoon to watch Cleopatra with his best friend, both giggling their way through the nudity. I knew he believed that a strong work ethic should always be a priority, especially in youth. You can play later in life. Beyond that, my dad's earlier life experiences and inner thoughts were a mystery. Like teeth, they needed to be extracted carefully and slowly. Conversations with my dad had always centered around school or work, the news, religion, and until 2019, when I married my now husband, my future marital status. In other words, as I have found similarly among friends, he was a typical immigrant parent, laser-focused on the future rather than the past. For most of my life, my dad had exerted control and stability by keeping his kids at arm's length, far enough that we couldn't see his vulnerability, but close enough that he felt like he was taking care of us. For that matter, I had never talked with my parents about anything emotional, let alone things that were heavy and terrible. This meant that aside from the basic facts of my life, they didn't really know me either. We put our energy into keeping up appearances within our community and our family. And so when I floated the idea of this trip to my dad, I was surprised that he responded eagerly. In fact, he found it brag-worthy that his adult daughter wanted to get time alone with him, a rarity in his own circle of friends. He never knew that the catalyst for my initiating the trip was worry and concern about his well-being. And now we'd be driving up and down the coast of Maine together, sharing a hotel room and every meal. We'd have approximately 72 hours to fill, and I had no idea what we'd talk about.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?